When I was a teenager, I can remember my older brother explaining to me about budgeting for grown-ups. And he said that, roughly speaking, you should be spending about a third of your income on housing, a third on food, and a third on other things. Now, I know you can probably argue about the detail of that, and I know it's going to vary a bit throughout life, isn't it? But I found that quite a helpful guideline, at least as I was sort of beginning to grow into an adult. And for example, if I'm spending 90% of my income on my car, with blinging it up and that sort of thing, then there's something a bit out of balance in my life, isn't there? And that's the kind of thing that financial advisors will sit down with you and look at. Are you doing the right things with your money? Are you spending it in the right way? And indeed, if you get into debt, then there are people like CAP, Christians Against Poverty, or the Citizens Advice Bureau, or whoever, who can come and help you out of a hole, again, by looking at the big picture with you. And if you or if anybody you know is in debt in any way, then I'd encourage you at an early stage to ask someone like that for help, because it really does help to have somebody else looking at the big picture with you and supporting you. For most people, though, giving to charity is only a small part of their expenditure. Perhaps an occasional sort of coin in the charity box or donation to a good cause. A little bit like people would think of it as sort of giving God a tip or something like that. But in the Bible, of course, giving is much more important than just a little bit occasionally. It's part, for instance, of their culture to the poor, to care for the stranger and the sojourner and those who've fallen on hard times. And also the people of Israel viewed it as part of their worship of God, to give a portion of everything that they received back to God as their worship. And they had the regular 10% tithe that they would give right at the start of their week, if you like. And then there was also the freewill offering for particular appeals, like, for instance, building the temple and so on. They had a special appeal for people to give of their wealth. Now, I know things are slightly different in 21st century Britain. Some of our taxes now are used to care for the poor and so on. But the principle is still a good one, to give a regular amount to God's work as a thank offering to him. And what we're doing in that way is we're worshipping God with our finances as well as our voices and our prayers and so on. I love an American bumper sticker that says, "If you love God, tithe, because any fool can honk." I think that's great, actually. Just reminding us that it's actually a serious business being a Christian, and it should cover every area of our lives. Bishop Stephen came a couple of years ago, and he suggests that we have a similar two-stage approach, just like the ancient Israelites did, a regular standing order for our regular giving to the regular needs of the church, but also one-off donations for special appeals, for things like earthquakes and disaster relief and so on. And if you think about it, if the basic state pension, for example, is £120 a week, then 10% of that is £12 a week. Now, maybe you might decide £6 to the church, £6 to other good causes, I don't know, that you may want to support. And maybe if that seems too big a step for you, 10% of income seems a lot, then maybe start with less and gradually aim to move up towards it. Jane and I started by giving 10% and gradually were increasing that and we're now up to about 15% or so, because we know that everything comes from God. It's very tempting, isn't it, to think that this is all my money and I'm giving 10% to God's work, and aren't I generous to do that? But the Bible reminds us that actually everything that we have comes from God. All our resources, everything that we're blessed with in the world around us. In truth, it's all His, 100%. And Bishop Stephen says that our church aim, our aim as Christians, should be to grow mature disciples. And part of that maturity is making Christ Lord over every aspect of our lives, letting Him, if you like, be the Lord of every bit of it. And that includes, of course, our wallets and our purses, our finance and our wealth. So it's not a bad question to think now, what is God worth in my life? What's He worth to me? How do I value my relationship with the Lord? But I've spoken before about our motivation for giving. This time I just want to be a little more practical and spend some time thinking about the highlights of what we do. We've heard already about Messy Church, haven't we, which started 3 years ago. And Elizabeth was saying that we've had, I think, about 21 messy churches since then, reaching out to local families and children in this area. There's a team of us, about 8 or 9 of us, that go into St. Andrew's School every week, every Wednesday morning, to tell Bible stories and dramatise them using Open the Book. In a few weeks' time, the year 3 children in the school are going to be helping us to run our Sunday morning service, not here, but actually in the school, in the assembly hall there. And of course, Solbar are out in the hall now. We're keeping Solbar going for teenagers. And then, of course, we are involved in the local community in all kinds of ways. That volunteer meeting that we heard about, the neighbourhood plan and so on. And then, of course, we give 10% of our church's income to other good causes, such as Chitrakaki in Nepal, CYO's youth work in school, Covenant Players working, doing drama around the world, Peter Adams's Through Faith Missions, TFM, that we give to, and the Flame People, and so on. I'm just reminded when we went to see Chitra in Nepal how our giving goes further in foreign countries and foreign situations. It achieves more. So we've got some pie charts of income and expenditure, where the money comes from. The majority of the money for this church comes from your regular giving, some of it from occasional giving, and some of it from the gift aid. We can reclaim the tax that people have already paid. And the majority of our expenditure goes towards the ministry of the church in this area. But to be perfectly honest with you for a moment, we are barely making ends meet. Our regular giving is a bit tight, to be honest. And that's mainly because of donors who've perhaps left, moved away to another part of the country, or moved on in their Christian lives. But I know that Yvonne, our treasurer, has also been encouraging new members to sign up for regular giving. And that's a huge help. So can I say thank you to all those of you who've responded to Yvonne and who've signed a form for regular giving. And I know that many others are already giving regularly, so thank you for that too. At our PCC, our church council meeting, Wendy was saying that her sort of view of the church is that she believes that we're moving from a time of painful pruning and perhaps a time of renewal and abiding in God. We're moving into a time of giving and growing, a time of outreach and generosity in the church. And as Jane's already mentioned, of course, we give other things as well. We give our time and our energy in those ministry opportunities on the board at the back. So maybe you could just add your name to the things that you're involved in and maybe even consider something new. But I think the thing that I really want folk to think about today is to consider just increasing the amount that you give, especially if the amount you give to God's work has stayed constant for a little while. Maybe your income has increased over the last year or two. Even the state pension has been going up year on year. So maybe just consider whether you could increase that amount. Have a word with Yvonne and she'll help you in doing that and filling in the forms. Jane reminded us of the verses that Jesus draws to our attention. If you love me, you will obey my commands. So I think one question might be, how much do we love God? Are we willing to actually be a bit sacrificial in our giving and to give to his work? Let's just spend a moment listening to what the Lord has to say to us and whether perhaps he has a word for us on this practical subject today. Come, Holy Spirit, speak to your people.